The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. It's day two. Glory to God. Are you expectant? You know what things you should begin to expect in this meeting, and of course every time we gather, is that words will be spoken, and those words will change us. You know, the greatest investment that God can make into your life, into your business, into your career, into your health, is that he speaks words into your life. Actually, the greatest blessing God gave anyone in scriptures is that he spoke to them. That's the greatest. And once he speaks to you, he has done everything he can do and he should do for you. Well, how did God bless, or how did God through Isaac bless Jacob? He spoke to him. Everyone, when God speaks to you, he's blessing you. You know, there's a question we'll ask, people are going to laugh about it, but actually I don't think it's hard to pick. You know, this kind of questions where people say, if you meet a man of God that you really respect, will you take 10 million from him or should he pray for you? People will say, give me 10 million first. But if you are wise and you understand the workings of faith, if generally money is the least thing any great man can give you. I got what I'm saying. Money is the least thing. You know, I was telling them during LMP, money is the lowest form of cash. So the lowest form of wealth. So words are powerful. He says, what if he's not a man of God? Money is even the smallest thing he can give you. You know, I heard a story about this great man. Great barrister. Great lawyer. Very great lawyer. He has handled cases. Talk of cases like biggest in his space. And so he meets this younger lawyer began to disturb him. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. And he kept disturbing him. So he told him, no, I'm going to help you one day. And that day they were in a conference and he saw the guy. He told him, today is that I'm going to help you. So the guy was with his CV and he was thinking it was an appointment. And he said to him, just walk with me. And they were walking and they were talking. I get the point. They took a walk like from here down the passage where everybody was walking. After that walk, he turned and looked at the guy. See, if you remain broke, I cannot help you again. Are you following me? Immediately he left. A lot of people that wanted that man's contact, that wanted to reach him, that couldn't reach him, all of them circled around him. How did you do this? How did you, can you handle this case for me? I've been trying to reach your guy, but I couldn't reach him. But since, and that was how the guy became big. Just a walk. That's why relationship is more valuable than money. Because money will finish. Somebody can lend you his relationship. He has changed your life. So I just use it as an example. Are you following me? Words are powerful. And today God will be speaking to us. But not just about today. Throughout this meeting, expect that words will be spoken. And whenever those words come, seize them. You know, the testimony we had in service yesterday about the lady that got a job.
one of the things that blessed me in that testimony is that some of the things she referred to that I spoke over her were spoken during 4 Thursdays of Answers. Do you know when that meeting held? That's like 2 years ago. I get what I'm saying. 4 Thursdays of Answers, like 2 years ago. And when she needed those words, I get any point. And in fact, the very word that eventually gave her this job was in March. Was it March or so? I was trying to close service. And I said, what was that? I said, if there is a promise that anyone has made you, that in this season, those things are going, they will remember you. And the matter will rise up again in their spirit. And this promise was made to her. Which year? 2019. And from 2019, she's been calling the person. The person has refused to pick, so she has stopped calling. That word came that Sunday. And she took it and began to pray with it. By Thursday or Friday, the Lord said, send the man a text. She sent a text. It was a man that called back, that got back to her and said, send your CV. She has the job now. I get the point. And I'm not talking about sales attendant. A federal government job. With a reputable ministry. Are you following me? And this man that helped her, they are not related in any way. No relation. One of the things I told you guys at LMP is that if you want to know the man that God sends to help you, he will not help you to reduce you. He will not help you and begin to control you. He will not help you and begin to demand things from you. Any man that helps you and demands things, God did not send the person. He said, why did you say that? Because the blessing of God maketh rich as no sorrow. So God will speak to us and will contend with those words. Are you guys ready this evening?
Yes,
let me read this to you. This is a testimony from last year, 30 days of light. He said, good evening, Dad. I'm grateful for 30 days of light 2024. As God gave me a strategic miracle in my business. He said, a circular was released for every of course, I don't want to give details, so that there was a business person was running, and a circular was released that everyone that owned that business in the state should register their business, a special kind of registration. He said she made inquiries, and she was told to pick up the form, and the form alone will cost 200,000 naira. So I gathered everything I had to address earlier for that term. I headed to the office to pick up the form. On getting there, the network was not going through and I almost cried my eyes out. Little did I know that God was saving me from fraud. I later discovered that the account number I was given as the ministry account was a sub account, which was not the main account. I also discovered that I was not even qualified to pick up the form. As I did have some structures that was there for the registration, I was feeling bad and crying, not knowing that God was saving me so much from so much. It was in the course of the meeting that you declared that God was going to make the government respond in our favor. You know, this came last year during the meeting. Then I personalized that word, and 2 days later, the government made an announcement that her business was not qualified to register. Not only that, her business should not register, but should keep running. So they cut off that registration. There was no need for the registration again. So by that declaration, God saved her from fraud. God saved, made the government turn their policy in her favor. So no registration, business still running, money saved. He said, I would have lost money, I would have owed my staff, and I would have still not gotten registered. You get the point? But the word of God came in a meeting, and the policy changed. The Bible tells us that the heart of a king is in the hands of God. People don't know why they do what they do. So somewhere in this meeting, within these 30 days, words will be spoken. And those words will change something in your life. So even if you're at a point in your life where you think they have declared, God will speak. And once he speaks, it will be done. And in fact, if you're at a point in your life where you are trusting that an announcement has been made that will favor you, that announcement will come in 2 weeks' time. Yes. If you're at a point where a policy has to be made that will favor you, that announcement will be made in 2 weeks' time. And it will happen because of you. I say it will happen because of you. I say it will happen because of you. In the name of Jesus. Say, things are turning in my favor. Come on, come on. Say, things are turning in my favor. Say, the tides will turn in my favor. Do you believe that? Take 1 minute. Pray with it. Things are turning in your favor. If there's any area of your life that you think decisions have to change, where a policy has to be made to favor you, if there's any area, they've said they are downsizing in the company, so they're going to sack you. If some of you have already received the letter that you're going to be sacked, things will turn suddenly in your favor. It will turn suddenly in your favor. It will turn in your favor. The government has marked your area for demolition. Things will turn in your favor. The policy will swing in your favor. A decree has been made that does not favor you. Another decree will be made. And this time, it will be your best interests. It will be your best interests. Come on, come on, pray. 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 Some of you, your dream companies where you want to work will change their employment structure for you. That age limit they put on that job, they will knock it off for you. They will knock it off for you. Some of you, a new exam will be conducted because of you. A new recruitment process will be opened up because of you. They say they are done recruiting, but because of you, they will start again. When it starts again, remember this prophetic word. Remember it. New decisions made in your favor. Shadale Kombrandiash. I see new letters coming in. New mails coming in. You've received a mail that looks like a note of finality. But come on, God is putting a comma under that full stop. And the sentence will continue. You are trying to do your clearance in school. And they've said you've hit a point where things are not going to work. By this declaration, and by your words this evening, things will begin to swing in your favor. And in 2 weeks' time, as the Lord has spoken, your testimony shall come in. They've closed the visa application, but they're opening it up again. They've said you can't come, but they're opening it up again. It's not over yet. is not over yet. Your next checkup will be a different result. And this one will be in your favor. Your next checkup will be a different result. This one will be in your favor. I see the pendulum swinging. But it's swinging. This time it's ending up on your side. I'm seeing it in the spirit. It's ending up on your side. In Jesus' name we pray. I said in Jesus' name we pray. You will share your testimony. And we will celebrate with you. It's going to swing in your favor. It's going to swing in your favor. It's going to swing in your favor. In the name of Jesus. The Lord just showed me someone now. And this is not just me wishing you well. Just show me someone now. In these 30 days, before we are done, your financial life would have changed. I saw that emphatically in the spirit. I can actually point the person out. But why I don't want to point the person out is so that many other people can key into it. But as a particular person, the Lord showed me here. Before the end of these 30 days, your financial fortune would have changed drastically. And it will change for good. I say it will change for good.
Amen.
I say it will change for good.
Amen.
The person I'm talking about is not actually broke. It's not like you are down, down, down. But they say where you are now, where you think things are looking good, it's going to step up.
Amen.
It's going to step up.
Amen.
It's going to step up.
Amen.
And Lord said, I will bring you to a point of stability.
Amen.
That point of stability. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. Give Jesus praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please let me walk up to three persons by your side and welcome them to day two. With anything you want to tell them. Day two of 30 days of light. Yes. Amen. Have your seat. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes. Amen. It's good to see us. We'll have a lot of seeing to do. I'll see you tomorrow too. And next week. Praise God. You know how most of this meeting starts? When we want to start, it's like, how do we do this? When we now want to stop, it's like, why are we stopping? Praise God. It's always like that. Glory to God. Some people met me, not some people are shy. People are. If people have spoken to me already, I'm just smiling because God hasn't said anything. They were asking me, when are we going to make LMP 1 week again? I don't know if I attended when it was 1 week. You know, the first LMP was 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Imagine that kind of immersion for 2 weeks. First one was 2 weeks. 2 whole weeks. So now it's 3 intense days. Some people are saying, can it be 1 week? Well, let's pray about that. Let's pray about that. But it just goes to explain what I said. Most times when We want to start things. We're always like, come on. Like when I announce we're going to teach LMP, I'm going to teach you. We're going to spend hours every day in church. You're like, I'm actually, I want to do this. By the time we ended, I wonder, why did we stop? That's how this month is going to be. By the time we're done with the meeting, wonder, why are they stopping the meeting? Let's just go till December. Because the impact will be heavy. Amen. I said, amen. Please, I'll give you 1 minute to step outside. If you left your voice outside, go and pick it up. Just a minute. Did you? So I say, glory to God.
Glory!
So what did they keep it before? Amen. So I'm looking at the God life. The God life. And yesterday we were looking at the fact that, you know, there's been a recap already. You know, why we have a recap every day? That recap session is going to bless you. It blesses all the time. But then we do the recap. So when I come up on stage, I don't have to, you know, do a thorough recap of what we did the previous day. Amen. So, John 5:24, Jesus spoke to them. He said, very, very lesson to you. He said, give me John 5:24. He said, whosoever heareth my message, heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life. And he will not come into condemnation, but has passed. So the man in Christ has passed from death into life. So there's been a transition, and we saw that is the into life. And that life, like I said, is not a concept. And I heard the recapitulation when, you know, Pastor Mara mentioned it again, and I want to say it again, it's not a concept. It's a person. Life is a person. The life, so the person of Jesus is life. So like I said, when you hear me talk about the book of life, that's Jesus. The water of life, the tree of life, the bread of life. That is Jesus we are talking about. And so when we say we have life, it means that we have him. I know, and it's so important that we're doing this teaching because of that 1 John 5, verse 11, 12, and 13. The fact that it's not enough to have eternal life. It's not enough to have life. It is actually enough to have it and to know that you have it. It's okay to have it and then to be aware. So John is saying, I understand that God has given you eternal life and this life is in his son. But in verse 13, he said, I'm writing to you that you may know. Because it's important that you are aware. That you may know. Even though you've believed in his son already, and I celebrate for believing, but I want you to know. And the reason is because if you do not know, there are many things that our privileges in Christ that if you don't know, you will just hear about them. You will just hear about them. And you know, I've heard people try to disprove some things we preach because they are working with experience. And I saw somebody on Facebook some time ago, and the person said that he doesn't believe that God heals the sick. And they asked him why. He said because he has seen many serious Christians who died sick. I get to the point. And you could have said, well, that makes sense. But that's a very stupid thing to say. It doesn't make any sense. Because a lot of people die sick because they don't even know to start with that healing is for them. And some that I know don't even know that, you know, that they don't even know how they can access it. I get the point. It was a monkey that made an analogy some time ago. You know, somebody told him, asking this kind of silly question. The person said, I don't believe that the blood of Jesus can wash everybody's sin. And he told him why. And the person said, well, because if he can wash everybody's sin, how come there are still many sinners? And Real Bunky told him, well, I don't believe that soap can wash away deaths. And the person said, why? So if soap can wash away deaths, how come there is much soap on earth, yet people are still dirty? And the person said, oh, well, because they have not picked the soap to wash themselves. He said, it's exactly the same thing. I get to the point. What you've not applied, a truth you do not know, cannot change you. Secondly, a truth you know, but you do not apply, will not still change you. That's why we are building up from knowing. The first part of this meeting, I'm going to teach a lot of, well, you need to know. By the time we begin to proceed, you learn how to apply. Because it's one thing to know, then to apply. So John said, I'm writing that you may know. Because many do not know. They sing it, but they don't know. In fact, if you hear them sing, you know they don't know. Imagine the Christian comes to sing and his song is eternal life. I want to live eternal life. God save my soul. I want to live eternal life. You don't know the song. Oh my Savior. Your people. Remember me, O Lord. How does that even sound? John said, I'm writing that you may know that I have eternal life. So if you know, what's the point of the song? That you may know you have. So there are many songs we sing that are bettered in unbelief and in heavy ignorance. I want to live eternal life. God save my soul. I want to live eternal life. Because you want to live. To start with, eternal life is not something you live. It's something you have. Look at your Bible. Look at it. I read it to you that you may know. That you may know. I want you to know that you have. Because the point is, when they say want to live, they still understand it as the concept of life. It's actually a person. It's something to have. Are you getting the point? Like I said yesterday, eternal life is beyond living forever. And like I jokingly said yesterday, if eternal life is about living forever, then angels have eternal life because they're going to live forever. But come on, angels don't have eternal life. But they will live forever. In fact, people that believe, as many of us believe, that we are going to go, that people, that unbelievers will go to hell, right? Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
They will go to hell now, don't you think so? They will. And many believe that hell is a fire. Right? And they're going to burn there for how long? Forever. So that means they too have eternal life. Because they're going to be burning in hell. Are you what I'm talking about now? So that tells you plainly, living forever is not having eternal life. It's more than that. Demons too. Stay forever. Say they'll be thrown into the bottomless pit. There are a lot of things that, well, let's leave this matter. So as I was saying, eternal life is not about living forever. There is more. It's actually the person. Eternal life actually means that God is giving you his life. How do I explain this to you now? I've used this before. I thought I was going to use it later, but let me use it now. Eternal life is like God is giving you his life, his nature. What makes him God? It's just like you buy your car and then you drive that car to a point, you take it to a mechanic and they pick up the engine of a brand new Benz and transfer to your old Benz. When they look at that Benz from the outside, it is old. But on the inside, it is new. Are you following me, friends? It is new. So you could see that Benz along the road and you think, I can beat that. That's old. I can beat that car. And then when it begins to take off, they wonder what happened. The engine is not the same. They are looking at something. That's why on the outside, you may look normal. But greater is he that is in me. Because there is the thing has been changed. A new life is working in me now. So you look at that car, you say, it's not normal, this is not my car. I will beat it. But then they've changed the gearbox, they've changed the engine of the car to all of them brand new. I get what I'm talking about. When he picks up, you think you can't beat it. Forget the body. That's why Paul said, though we are on the outward, we might be perishing on the outward, but our inward man is being renewed every day. Because the man on the inside is the real man. And that man on the inside has the life of God. The nature of God. So though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. And that's the life of God in us. Are you following me, friends? That's that's the life of God. If I let me tell you this, I mentioned this, I want to say it again. The major thing that Jesus came to do on earth was to give us his life. I don't want to miss what I'm going to say now. The major thing, that brought him was to give us his life, is his nature. That's why he told them in John 10, verse 10, he said, the thief cometh to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come for what reason? That they might have life. He said, but Jesus came to pay for our sins. That is correct. But do you know, in Genesis 1, he said, let us make man in our image. That was the original intention of God. Payment for sin came because man fell. And the purpose sin was paid for was so that we can eventually get to the image of God. So Jesus paid for our sin. The plan is to bring us to God's image. Are you what I'm talking about? The original intention of God is, let us make man in our image, or let us make man to be in our nature. Same thing, right? Let us make man to have our life. Same thing, right? Are you following me, friends? So when man missed out of that plan and sinned, then there was need for sins to be paid for. So the purpose of sin being paid for is so that we can eventually come into that image of God. So when we go out there, what we preach is forgiveness of sins. But when people believe, what they receive is the nature of God. Are you following me? When they believe, they receive the life of God. Because the reason we are preaching forgiveness in the first place is because God has an agenda. That agenda is to bring everybody to his image. That has always been his plan. So that's why he said, I am come that they might have life. I have it abundantly. So he came to give us his life. His nature. His nature. His image. Are you following me? You know, if you want to learn about the life of God, one of the authors you read a lot is John. Those have quoted John a lot so far. John. Of course, Paul too, but John. Because, let me tell you why the... You know there are four Gospels, right? What are the four Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The Gospel of John is a bit different. And I'm going to tell you why. It's a bit different because, you know, the Gospel of John did not even start. You know, in the Gospel of John, there is no story about the birth of Jesus. Physical birth. It just started with, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In him was life. And that life just went that way. So it just went like that. I think later he said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He went on, God verse 14, he tells us that the word, the grace came by Jesus, you know, and the law came by Moses. So the next thing we see is John chapter 2. What follows John chapter 2? He turns water to wine. So John neglects or ignores the birth. Are you what I'm saying? The story of the birth, the story of going to animal, to sheep house to give birth to him, the story of conception, he neglects that. And jumps to his miracles. Jump to his baptism. Then from his baptism, straight to his miracle. And you look at the story of John, the book of John recorded only 7 miracles of Jesus only. All of them carefully picked. The reason is because John, that Gospel of John, was written later. After John had grown and had matured in his work with God, he wrote that letter. He wrote that. So he was writing from the point of revelation. So if you read Matthew, Matthew will not say he came to give them life. But John said it. I am come that they may have life. I have it more abundantly. That's why if you read the book of John, it sounds like the epistles. Yes. For God so loved the world. That because God only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth, that's the book of John. I've come that they might have life. Book of John. Are you following me, friends? So if I, let me, do you know, and to tell you that John knew what he was doing. John chapter 20, verse 30. I'm just trying to show you something. That the real reason Jesus came was to give us life. And John captured it. John said, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not in this book. So he admits that he didn't write everything. Are you getting the point? But see verse 31. He said, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have what? Life through his name. So the method is we believe in Jesus so that we can have life by him. So the reason we preach, the reason Jesus paid for our sins and did all of that drama is to the end that we can receive his life. Is someone following me this evening? To the end that we can receive his life. This life is his nature, his DNA. In fact, that's why it's not, I want to say this, that's why it's not an upgraded version of our previous life. Let me show you something. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 is actually God's nature, God's very nature, the divine nature. The divine nature. He said, according to his divine power, had given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of what? The reason we are given these promises is that we can partake of the divine nature. Divine talks about God, so we can partake of the God nature. That's the God life. That's the way. So everything he did so that we can partake, so that that nature can become ours. So that we can begin to, we can become like God, we can think like him, we can talk like him, we can see like him, we can come into that his life can begin to work in us. That's the whole essence of redemption. That's the whole essence of redemption. The purpose of redemption is beyond I'll forgive their sins. It's beautiful, right? But it's a beautiful reality. But the end of forgiveness of sin is that we'll be like him. That we'll have his life. Are you following me? Shout amen, somebody.
Amen.
So that's why salvation made us brand new beings. Brand new beings. It changed our nature totally. So Corinthians 5:17, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new, and this is important. People just quote this verse and say, he's a new creature. Do you know what is new? New means something that has never existed. So, you're going to see something. I'll show something very shortly. It's not like you get your clothes. Maybe you are wearing a garment. And then God said, oh, well, this garment is dirty. So let's do something. Pull the garment. Let's wash it. If any part is stained, I will soak it with hypo. That's not what happened in salvation. People think, so when they say, Lord, just wash us, that's what comes to their mind. He said he made us new creatures. So he didn't upgrade our lives. I get what I'm talking about. He didn't clean us up. He changed the whole system. He changed the whole being. When you took your car to that mechanic, he didn't repair the engine. He didn't change the engine oil. He changed the entire engine. So when you're leaving the place, you left the brand new engine. Are you following me this evening? Give me the translation of this. Give me like NLT and Amplified and the rest of them. NLT said, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. A new person. Give me a Amplified Classic. A new person. He said, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, I'm coming to this, the Messiah, he's a new creation. A new creature altogether. A new creature altogether. Anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. He's created new. Are you getting the point? A tradition said he's a new species. Are you getting the point? A new species that has never been seen before. You know why? Let me share this with you briefly. I mentioned this yesterday, but let me just touch it again today. You know why it was necessary? Why is it necessary for God to give us, to make us new beings? Was somebody saying, I think God just cleaned us up? No. Remember, what did we have before? From yesterday's teaching, what do we have before? Spiritual death. The sin nature. That nature of sin. So God couldn't have picked up the sin nature to clean it up. It had to be removed. Are you following me? It had to be dealt with. Let me show you how the Bible describes sin nature. Give me Ephesians 2 verse 1. Let's look at it again. This is the state of the unbeliever. He said, and you had he quickened. My God. You had he quickened who we are dead. So what is the state of the unsaved man? Talk to me now. Dead in sins and trespasses. So, let's look at this picture. If someone is dead, like, not because the person is lying, have you ever been around a dead person before? The person is lying stone dead. Now, what can you do to that person? Is there anything you can do to the person to make it fine? You can wear fine clothes. You can bath the person. But with time, the person keeps decaying. The only thing you can do to a dead person is to either bury the dead or to give him life. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? Dead. You can't improve on dead. Are you getting the point? You can't repair deaths. When they bring a dead person to you, you don't treat the lungs or treat the kidney. Are you following me, friends? You don't treat the liver. You don't say, okay, let's change the blood. Let's treat the brain. Dead is dead. You either bury it or you give it new life. So when Jesus came, there was the man in sin is dead. He can't be repaired. He can't be cleaned up. If you clean him up, he doesn't do the job. He's dead. So you are dead in trespass and sins. Now, look at the result of that death. Verse 2. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. Watch this. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirits that now walketh in the children of disobedience. So in every man that is not saved, there is an evil spirit that walk in them. That's why it's not something that can be repaired. Are you following the point? So there is a spirit that I was showing you yesterday. You see the kind of crime people commit. You cannot doubt that there's a spirit walking through them. There's a spirit that now walk in men of disobedience. Give me like a little translation of that verse. Let's just together like a mass choir. Are you ready? Let's go together. Obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse. So every man who is not saved is not only dead, he is dominated by the devil himself. So it's not a question of change. So when Jesus came, he didn't come to repair. I'm trying to show you how bad the situation was. That warranted God to make something new. Are you following what I'm saying? Aye. It's just like you're a tailor. Is there any tailor here? Or fashion designer? Or seamstress? Tailor. Amen. Somebody tells you, sir, my clothes, you know, how do I... You know, that there is clothes they can bring to you to repair. You sew it. But there is a way a clothes will be torn. You look at it. You tell the person, sister, buy a new one. It was that bad. I get what I'm saying? That the way your car will be bad. The mechanic will look at that and say, should I advise you? When they tell you, should I advise you? Just tell them no. Should I advise you? Yes. Just buy another one. Buy another one. It happens with phones too. That's how bad your phone will be. They tell you the screen is bad. The flex is bad. The power button is bad. The motherboard is bad. And then the touchpad. So imagine somebody telling you, I have a phone for sale. It's cheap. Just that you have to change the touchpad and the screen and the battery and the motherboard. Then the power button. But the phone is cheap. You just say, just keep your phone. That was how bad it was. We are dead in sins. Are you following me? He said, among group, now watch what I'm going to show you. It's not just that we are living in sin. That's not the problem. Among group, verse 3, also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Read the last phrase with me. And we are by nature the children of wrath. So it's not just that we are doing bad things. The nature we carried was that of children of wrath. So it's not the impression of something God damaged. It was a nature. So even if you repair the hand, the engine is still bad. And so when we say God made us brand new beings, that was the only thing he could do. Are you what I'm talking about? That was the only thing that could be done. The damage done by the sin nature is so bad that you can't repair it. That's why you can't meet an unbeliever and preach morality to the person. It will not work. He can only try to change. He can only promise I will not do it again. But something has been damaged. A new man has to come alive. I get the point. That's why I don't preach morality to everyone. I preach morality to you. I tell you to dress well. To talk well. Do you know why I tell you that? Because I know you carry the new nature that can respond to those things. Now, hear this. This is why the Israelites could not obey those laws they were given. They could not. Because, come on, the nature could not obey it. So the Israelites, if you read the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and all that, these guys, it looked like they were just crazy. They were crazy. Small time they received miracle. The next time they pick up stone to kill Moses. Small time they are happy. Next time they are sad. And Moses will talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Moses was talking. You know, I was telling you guys, I've not seen a bigger miracle worker in the Bible than Moses. Even Jesus our Lord, you know what kind of miracles that Moses worked. Are you aware? I'm not insulting Jesus. He didn't need to. That's the truth. He didn't need to. Jesus led 12 men. Moses led 3 million people. So he didn't need to walk. He just had to multiply bread and fish like 2 times. Moses had to do his own for a season. For 40 years they were in the wilderness. By the miracle working ministry of Moses, their shoes did not expand. As the legs were growing, the shoes were growing. You can't beat that. But with all those things those people saw, they were still rebelling. There was just something in them that could not just be okay. Let me tell you, if I have seen Red Sea divide before me, now you don't get the point. It didn't divide for 10 minutes. Was that I tell them that I was saying this? It didn't divide for 10 minutes. There were about 3 million that left Egypt. So how long will it take 3 million people to go through a sea as big as Red Sea? Not the stream in your village. It would have taken weeks and months. So the Red Sea held up like that, stood still. They were passing. And the pillar of fire stood between them and Egypt. That Egypt couldn't come close. For weeks and months, they were done passing. Yet. I get what I'm talking about. That is about the sin nature. You see, someone is not saved. And if you walk miracle for the person will say, oh, I will now say, hey, I will serve God. This guy's almost killed me. Now that you heal me, the following you go to that church. Tomorrow you come, person has locked up. Now, that is the sin nature. Are you following what I'm talking about, friends? Romans 8, verse 9. It tells us the sin nature cannot please God. Give me that verse. Verse 8. Romans 8, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh. Give me an NLT. That's why those who are still under the corrupt and sinful nature can never please God. It's not possible. They can only try. So God knows this. That's why when he came to salvation, he didn't change your piercing and rings. He changed the entire engine. He didn't change your lungs and your kidney. He didn't replace, he didn't repair kidney. He created a brand new species. Are you guys following me this evening? Titus 3 verse 3. Let me show you how bad the sin was again. Titus 3 and verse 3. It says, for we ourselves, we are sometimes foolish. This is Paul again, describing the state we were before we met Jesus. Which is why it was not possible for the thing to be repaired. We were sometimes foolish. Amen. Disobedient. Deceived. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures. Living in malice and envy. Hateful and hating. This is the status of the unsaved man. I like Amplified Classic. Give me that verse. Everybody please watch. We are once thoughtless and senseless. So, you know, Paul is a powerful communicator. We were thoughtless and senseless. Obstinate and disobedient. Deluded and misled. We too were once slaves to all sorts of cravings and pleasures. Wasting our days in malice and jealousy and envy. Hateful, hated, detestable, and hate one another. You don't get that. We are hateful. We are hated. And we are hating. Hateful, hated, hating. Hateful, the nature. Hated, what people did to us. They even hated us. Hating. We're hating people. So it's aura for aura. Aura for aura. It's aura for aura. Egusi for egusi. Hateful and hating. So you hate me, I hate you. That's the nature of the unsaved man. So when Jesus came, he had to change the entire system. He knows that this is not what he can repair. He created a brand new being. We have the nature of God now. Are you following me? Ephesians 2 verse 12. Ephesians 2 and verse 12. That at that time, you were without Christ. See, telling us how we were before we met him. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a man unsaved. Give me an NLT of this verse. Let's read together like a mass choir. You were excluded from citizenship among people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. This is why you must take evangelism seriously. Because this is the state of the man that is not in Christ. He's dead. No matter how much you preach the right, the preach morality to me, will not change until he opens his heart to Jesus and that nature of sin is cut off. Are you getting what I'm talking about? And the God life is installed. Until that happens, nothing can change. That's why when I tell parents all the time, one of the first things you do to your kids once they come of age is to lead them to Christ. Preach the gospel to them. And that's why it's good to keep your children in a good local church. Because when they're in a solid local church, they will receive Jesus early. And from that time, when you are now giving instruction, they can respond. I feel I'm talking about. Because there is something in them. Now, are they going to be children? Yes. Are they going to disobey a few times like children? Yes. But you know that when you are talking from the outside, the Holy Ghost is talking from the inside. Are you what I'm talking about? Not that you are talking from the outside, and devil. Because the Bible tells us that devil is the spirit that walks in the children of disobedience. So you are talking from the outside, he's talking from the inside. Are you following me? So when God came, when Jesus came, he had to, and he did give us new lives. He knew he couldn't have upgraded that life. He couldn't have repaired it. It was either new or nothing. Oh, thank God he gave us new lives. I said, thank God he gave us new lives. So I have new life. I have the life of God. I have the life of God. I have a brand new life. A brand new nature. Glory to God. The thing about this nature of God we have, it doesn't get old. Do you get what I said? It doesn't get. So it's not like I began to use my own 5 years ago. I began to use your own today. So your own have to be more new than my own. It doesn't get old. It's the life of God. It doesn't get corrupt. It doesn't change. It is constant. You got saved today is new. You got saved last 10 years. He's still as new. Brand new life. That's why a man that's been born again for 100 years can still say, I have a brand new life. I follow what I'm saying. Do you want to say that again? Shout it again. Shout it again. This is why we call being born again new birth. That's why. New birth. Because a brand new species was born. Titus 3 and verse 4. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing. The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Well, let's continue. I'm going back to this verse 5. Verse 6. Which he shed on us abundantly through Christ our Savior. And verse 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So he regenerated us. Have your seat. Verse 5. We have regeneration. Keep me on that verse 5. By the washing of regeneration. Regeneration. That's an interesting word. Especially when you check it in the original. In the Greek. That word regeneration is from the Greek word palingenesia. If you've read the book Race of Acts, you will come across this word. PALINGENESIA. Palingenesia. It means new birth. It means new beginning. It means to start something afresh. So when he says he saved us by the washing of redemption, in other words, that action regenerated us, started us afresh, created something newly. It's new birth. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And what he was telling him, you have to start afresh. Nicodemus, we cannot repair you at this point. We have to start afresh. You must be born afresh. You have to be born with a different kind of life. I get any point? Let me tell you this. That word born again, that's born and again, is one Greek word. It's the Greek word anothen. A-N-O-T-H-E-N. My God. A-N-O-T-H-E-N. That word anothen doesn't mean, we see it as born again. Actually, the real rendering in the Greek is you have to be born from above. Anothen means born from above. That's what it means. So that's why if you read letter in John chapter 3, the letter said he that is above all. Because
In other words, you have to born. So being born again was saying, so Nicodemus didn't get it. He said, can I go back to my mother's womb? That's what we were saying. Even if you go back to your mother's womb and come out again, you are still not born again. The born again, it means you have to be born with a higher life. Are you what I'm talking about? You have to be born with a higher life from above, with a higher life than what you possess now. Aye, aye, aye. Are you following me this evening? So, we were regenerated. We were created anew. That is a higher life. Another way Paul will explain this in Ephesians 2 verse 5. He said, he quickened us. He quickened us. He quickened us. That word quickened is the Greek word suzupoio. S-U-Z-O-O-P-O-E-I-O is not your language. Z-O-O-P-O-E-I-O. So pronounce it. Whatever you call it is correct. I'm not even right. You're right. But it means to make something alive together. So that's why we are queen together with Christ. So in other words, it means to raise. So it doesn't mean all the things I'm trying to show you is that there is no place salvation was ever described as a repair. It's either described as creating something new or as raising something from the dead. Because there was nothing that could be repaired in the old man. Do you follow to this point? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, when salvation happened, what God gave us was his nature. Do you know what 2 Peter 1 verse 4 tells us? It tells us that we have received great and exceeding promises. Verse 4. That we might become partakers. Watch this. Of the divine nature. Oh, give me NLT. Let me show you this. Let's read together, everybody. NLT. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go together. He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the worst corruption caused by. So the man that has received God's nature has escaped corruption in this world. Give me Amplified Classic. He said, we have escaped by flight from the moral decay, the rottenness and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed. So that thing I was talking about yesterday, that decay, that thing that makes people, that corrupts people, that makes them misbehave, we have escaped it when we got the life of God. So I repeat what I said yesterday, that nobody born of God can say there is this sin I cannot stop. Nobody. Except he decides not to stop it. He says, sir, how does it? If he decides you cannot stop it, God won't force you. But he has put what it takes. He has put what, he has removed that thing that loves him. Are you following me? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have escaped corruption. By the divine nature that we carried. Let me explain this thing in another way. Then we make do some applications and we close. In another way. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let me show you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Are you loving the word? Let's read together, everybody. All things have become, so when you come into Christ, become what? A new creature. So, we are okay to this point, right? A new being has been born. But how did this happen? Because Paul explained this in another way, which even makes it make more sense. How did we become new creatures? Next verse. All things it means is, all these things I explained to you, I've told you that whenever you see all in the Bible, that all doesn't mean all. Have I taught you that? Yes, sir. Do I have to say that again? All doesn't mean all. So that you don't begin to
talk like a Bible literate and ask you, who is your pastor? The Bible says, for instance, all things are yours. You say, hey, preacher, vibrate. All things are mine. And all means all. All means all. Your car is mine. Your wife is mine. You realize that that is wrong. Is it not wrong? So when he says all, you have to check the context of the all. If at all, most times in the Greek, the word is P-A-S, pass. It means some of all. It means all in this context. So you see, I can do all things through Christ. It's not all things. You cannot steal through Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you can? You can steal, but not through Christ. Christ will not give you the strength to steal. So when he says all things of God, the all things he's talking about, we can find it in verse 17. What is go to verse 17? What is the all things that are of God? The all things that have become new. Do you follow? What is that all things that have become new? You. So you are of God. Are you following what I'm talking about? Is it very clear? So you are of God. So if verse 18 said, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. He's talking about us. So how did he make us new? He reconciled us to himself. So in his reconciling us to himself, he made us new. And this is very important. Because when you hear the word, but I want to explain, because when you understand reconciliation, you will now understand how we became new creatures. Now, he had reconciled to himself. Now, remember again, what did we have before now? Spiritual death. What is spiritual death from yesterday? It's a separation from God. Is that clear? That's why Isaiah 55 tells us, he said, my ears are not too heavy that I cannot hear you. Is it 57 or 59? I mean, one of them. My eyes are not too heavy and all of that. He said, my heart is not too short. I cannot save you. But your sin has separated. That's spiritual death. So Paul is saying, God has reconciled us to himself. In other words, he has removed that separation that exists between we and him. That separation is spiritual death. Do you know what I'm saying? So let me put it this way. What is spiritual death? Separation. Right? So this is spiritual death. This is separation. Follow this. So if I say God has raised us from the dead and given us new life, am I correct? If I say God has reconciled us to himself, am I saying the same thing? Because what I'm actually saying is that God has removed the separation. That separation is death. Do you get the point? So when you see that we have been reconciled to God, we are simply saying that we've received new life. Because the reconciliation was that God removed the separation. That separation is death. What separated you from God is that sin nature. So he now came and removed it. By that removing it, he now became one with him and you received his life. So Colossians 1 verse 21. This is where I'm going to. Colossians 1 21. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now had he reconciled. What is now the result of that reconciliation? He reconciled the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable. So when he reconciled us, or when he raised us from the dead, or when he gave us his life, or when he gave us new life, or when he gave us his nature, what was the result? We became holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Hallelujah. Give me a little translation of this. This is now your state. When we say we have the life of God, what is now our state? Yet now, okay, this includes you. Go there. Okay, but stay here. Let's do it together, everybody. Go, you stay, you go. 21 now. Let's see together, everybody. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts. So what do we call this entire verse? Spiritual death. Is it clear to us? We are separated from spiritual death. So what now happened? Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his. So what do we call this now? We've received new life. I get any point. What is that the result of that? As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Is anybody holy in this place this morning, this evening? So that reconciliation or that new life he gave us made us holy. Made us without blame. So we can stand before God and say, I'm not a sinner. Why? Because we received a new life. That life he gave us is holy. That life he gave us is without blame. So we can face it. Amplify Classic. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yet now, has Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable? Where? Don't miss it. Where? Do you understand it? He didn't say that a certain court in Nigeria ruled and said you are without blame. He said they put you before the presence of Yahweh, and Yahweh said you are without blame. You don't get it. So no matter what anybody says, so we are not without blame just before men. We are without blame before God himself. When people say, well, when you die, God will reject the believer. It's not possible. Because by his death, he made us faultless and without blame in his Father's presence. This is the life of God in us. So I'm holy. Irreproachable. My God. Give me like message. Give me message, Bible. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you. Start from verse 21. Let's get the whole picture of the message. He said, you yourselves are a case study of what he does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving him trouble every chance you got. That's spiritual death. Yet, but now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy, in his presence. Observe something. Because this is very clear. This is a little shift from what I'm saying, but God is just putting it in my heart. In all the translations and everywhere we've read, you will never see a place where the Bible said that God was separated from us. You always see where the Bible said that we were separated from God. That's not just English. It's not just semantics. God was never separated from man. Sin did not pursue God from man. Sin pursued man from God. That's why you read the whole Bible. When Adam sinned, it was God that came to him and said, Adam, where are you? When Cain killed Abel, it was God that came and say, what have you done? Where is your brother? I get to the point. So, sin puts man on the run. That's sin nature. Because darkness doesn't like light. Darkness hates light. He hates light. If you are here trying to, if everywhere is dark, and you're trying to steal from somebody's back, and somebody with light is coming, we run. That's the nature in us was dark. So we avoided light. So God came and took care of that darkness and reconciled us to himself. Today we are holy. You know, I've preached this truth for over a decade. I don't ever get tired of it. I'm holy in God's sight. It's so exciting. I don't ever get tired of it. Because it's the miracle of the ages. That from death we came alive. Without fault. Without fault. Oh yes. Without fault. This is the new life of God in us. This is the new life in us. So it means the believer can stand on the mirror and look at himself and say, this guy is holy. This guy is without reproach. And he will not be bragging. He will just be stating facts. Now, which is why any believer that says anything different about himself from what we've read is lying. Did you hear what I said now? So any day you say, I'm just a poor sinner. What are you doing? You're lying. So is there any poor sinner here? People say, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. That statement is wrong. You are either an old sinner or you are saved by grace. He says, sir, no. I'm talking about, I'm telling you, you are wrong. How can you say, I'm only a dead man who is now alive? You are either alive or you are dead. So pick a struggle. So choose one. Dead or alive? Dead or alive? Glory to God. So I don't say, I'm only a dead man who is alive. Which is why the easiest definition of humility is to agree with what God said you are. People think that being humble by saying, I'm nothing. I'm something, no. God didn't invest his all in nothing. I go and say, are you following me, friends? I say, I'm just nothing. What am I? Useless me. Poor me. But you came for me, Oga. You are not useless. It's about why you came from us. Well, let me tell you something. What determines the value of a product is the price that was paid for it. So if the price paid for us is that God gave us his own son, it means we are worth Jesus to him. So I'm not nothing. And this guy is now carrying the life of God. It makes all the difference. Are you following me? Let me read Passion Translation of this verse. It says, even though you are once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and action, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his spiritual peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. And now, there is nothing, I love this, there is nothing between you and Father God. For he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. That's the point to lift your hands and just give Jesus praise. Holy, flawless, and restored. Flawless. Restored. I'm holy before him. I'm holy before him. Glory to God. Have your seat. I'm holy before him. We're righteous. Are there righteous men in this place? I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm sanctified. And it's not because of anything. It is who he made me. Let me show you something because I want to close to shortly. Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 17. Mandala barekotole ya shikateya. Brekoto breketele breketele korabashandia. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans 11, are we there? Let's read together, everybody. Because what I want to show you now, because I want you to see what you're expecting. Because we say, I have the life of God. I've been trying to use many things to explain this simple concept to you. But I'm going to use something else that the Bible used. I've used reconciliation. But by the time I explain what I'm going to show you now, you will now understand how it is possible that the life of God can be flowing in a mere mortal. I get the point. Let's just get everybody. Do you understand it? Okay, give me an NLT. Because school in Akaron and Megi affect. Now, here, but some of these branches. Now look at what he's teaching us here. He was talking about Israel. How that there was a tree that was planted. Israel, they were meant to be part of that tree. That tree is Jesus. But through their unbelief, they refused to be part of it. And they were cut off. Are you following the point? He said, but some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off. And you Gentiles, who we are branches from a wide olive tree, have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised to Abraham and his children, sharing the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. So Paul is using agriculture now to teach us salvation. How many of you know about grafting? Do you know about grafting? Okay. You read about it in school. Have you seen it practiced? Anybody? It's real. We can get to an orange tree. And then we bring a branch of orange. Same species. Sometimes self. Different species. And then we bind them together somehow. And give it some time. After some time, that branch that we got from another tree and joined to this tree, we suddenly become one tree. And we begin to receive its life from the existing tree. That's what is used to explain salvation. That Jesus is that tree. We are the branches. When they now joined us to him, life began to flow from him to us. Are you following what I'm talking about this evening? Life began to flow from him to us. That is how we have the life of God. That we are cut from one tree and joined to this tree. So everything that is working in the tree is working in the branch now. Are you following me this evening? So if somebody says, how do you have the life of God? I was engrafted into Christ. Engrafting is a beautiful reality of redemption. So everything working in that tree, he said, all the blessing, all the life flowing from the roots. Akabarateya. Do you know what he tells us in the previous verse? He tells us that if the root, give me that verse. He said, as is Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their descendants will be holy also. Just as the entire batch of dough is holy because of the portion given as an offering is holy. Watch. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. If the root is holy, the branches will be holy. We are now that branch that has been attached to that tree. And if the root is holy, we the branches, we are also holy. Are you following me this evening? I've been grafted into Christ. So if you're wondering how come we have the life of God, it's because something has happened. There has been a fusing. It changed everything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And in the darkness, we are waiting without hope. You know that song? Till from. Lift your hands. Praise the Father.
Praise the Father. Praise the Son.
Oh, yes.
Praise the Spirit. Three in one.
Oh, yes.
God of glory, majesty.
Hallelujah. This guy is holy. So it's not just about holy. If you understand this ingratitude I explained to you now, you will not struggle when we say things like everything working in God is working in me. It's not actually a strange statement. So when you put that branch to that tree, and the joints, if the tree says everything is, if the branch says everything tree have, I have, is it wrong? It's not wrong. Because its life comes from the tree. Its life comes from the roots. So before we get there, let me announce to you, everything you cannot find in God is not in you. It's not. Now, don't hear what I didn't say. I didn't say should not be. I said it's not there. So if you are seeing it in you, we should actually ask question: where did this one come from? Life is working in me. The life of God is working in me. That's why when the time comes, you will realize that you can actually stand against sickness. Because what is flowing from the tree is life and not sickness. I have the life of God. I have the life of God. Let's read that verse again. Verse 17. We're going to start from 16 to 17. Are you ready? Let's go together. And the other patriarchs, we are holy. Their descendants will also be holy. Just as the entire batch of dough is holy because the portion. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, so the people of Israel, have been broken off. Stop. Why were they broken off? Go to verse 20. We're coming back to verse 17. Go to verse 20. Why were they broken off? Verse 20. Yes, but remember, those branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Christ. So when he's talking about branches, referring to Israel as a nation, they were cut off from what God was offering because they rejected Christ. So he was talking to the Gentile nation, and he was telling them, if you guys too don't accept this, don't believe in this Christ, you won't also partake. So Israel missed out of that tree because they didn't believe. We were grafted in by our believing. Is the Bible sweet? Is it clear? Go to verse 17 again. Read again. Come on, where's your voice? Let's go together. That is, some of the people of Israel have been broken off. And you Gentiles, who were branches from a wild stump. Do you know that wild olive tree? That sin nature, that sin, that wild olive tree. In other words, we shouldn't have had a part in this. Oh, but grace happened. But mercy happened. We have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the roots of God's special olive tree. That's where my supply is coming from. So when I say, oh, I'm holy, I'm going to live right, I will not commit sin. You say, I think it's possible. It is possible. I'm connected to a tree you're not connected to. That tree is supplying strength. Christ is supplying strength. By the time we are done with this, as we are closing now, you will now understand Jesus very well. In John 15, he said, I am the vine. Do you remember? You are the branches. Hallelujah. He is the vine. Let's go to King James. I am the vine. You are the branches. This will make sense. I'm going to just show you. This will make a lot of sense to you now. John 15 verse 1. I am the vine branches. It says, hallelujah. Glory to God. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, watch, that beareth not fruit, what does he do? He taketh away. Now, if you read this with in the, okay, I'm going to explain something to you. If you read this in with the original, the King James, the Greek. The Greek said, the word taketh away is airo. He separates. Watch what I'm going to show you. Now, it's just like the concept of it is you come to your poultry farm. And your poultry farm, there is one bird that is not doing well, that is sick. What do? You take it away so that you can take care of it and return it. So when the people of Israel were not believing, they didn't want to join, he separated them, took them away. And still sending us to preach the gospel to them, that they will believe and still join that tree. So it's not taking away to discard. Are you getting the point? He said, for every branch that beareth fruit, he purchased it that he may bear more fruit. Next verse. So we say how to bear fruit. Now you are clean through the word which has spoken to you. Through the word I've spoken to you. That's how you became clean. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can he except he abide in me. And in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, why was he telling them to abide in him? He was talking to the disciples, right? Who at the time they had not died. So it was like he was preaching salvation to them. You know, they were Israelites. Originally, they were part of that promise. So he's telling them, when I die, put your faith. If you don't accept this thing, you'll be cut off. But if you are with me, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. Don't you observe that the branch is the part of the tree that bears fruit? And not the root. Not the stem. So it is not Jesus that bears fruit. You are the one that bears fruit. Are you getting the point? That's why we are the ones going up at time, getting men saved, casting out devils. That's bearing fruit, bringing more men to the kingdom. It is us. How do we get strength to all of that? Abide in him. His root will supply us with the strength. So we have the life of God. So everything you find walking in the tree is coming to the branch. So let me ask you a question. Why is the tree producing life? So that it can supply to the branch. So that the branch can bear fruit. So the branches, we attach to him. This is to say, every child of God can bear fruit. Every child of God can win souls. Every child of God can produce the right kind of fruits. Every child of God can forgive. Every child of God can tolerate. Every child of God can walk out of sin. Every child of God can live above sin. Every child of God can shut down the flesh. Why? There is life supplying that guy. The very life of God is flowing through him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he said, oh, I just want you to forgive that guy. He said, I can't forgive him. That's not true. What is flowing through that tree is love, forgiveness, life. The life of God is working in me. I thought we would shout it louder. The life of God is working in me. So when you look at me, more than the blood flowing through my veins, more than the bones in this, more than the organs on the inside, the very nature of God is inside of me. So when the Bible now says, as he is, so are we in this world. What he's trying to say is that everything, so by the time the branch and the tree come together, everything that belongs to the tree now belongs to the branch. So they share. That's why the Bible calls us partakers of the divine nature. Partakers means to share in common. So we are now, so when we say things like everything God has, we're sharing in common, it's not strange, it's not heresy. It's like the branch saying everything that is in this tree belongs to me. Will that be heretic? I get what I'm saying. Everything belongs to me. The only time the branch will be stupid is if he begins to think he got all those things by himself. Then we say, oh, that's a stupid branch. I get the point. But a wise branch knows that life is flowing, flowing, life is flowing, life is flowing, life is flowing. I want to say to somebody, and God is putting this in my heart. How many of you have ever plucked mango or orange? Okay. I want to explain something. If you've never done it, you'll not understand what I'm saying. Have you ever climbed mango tree to go and pluck? How do you pluck? There are three ways of plucking. One, you can climb and you use a stick to hit it. Two, you can climb and with your hand you pluck, but there's a third one. You can climb and you shake the tree. I want to show you something. If you shake a particular branch and all the fruits fall off and it doesn't have any fruit again, you can look at that branch and laugh, but don't laugh too much. Once it is still connected to the vine and life is still flowing, it will bear fruit again. That's why I have some struggles today. Don't laugh at me too much. I'm still connected to the vine. You have some struggles today, but we are not laughing at you. There is still hope because you are still connected to the vine. You are connected to the vine. So you may look at me today, you see no fruit. Don't laugh at me. Don't write me off. Don't say this one is not going to make it in Christianity. So say this one cannot win the lost. I'm still connected to the vine. He's still supplying me strength. He's still supplying me life. I'm still growing. I'm getting better. Life is still flowing. And it's a matter of time. As I abide in him, I will bear fruits. I will bear fruits. I will bear fruits. And so one day this has to close tonight. I don't know the struggles you have. Don't write yourself off with your Christian journey. I know you've tried to stop that sin, but it's there. But there is still a connection. Life is still flowing. Life is still flowing. Life is still flowing. Life is still flowing. You've tried to win that sin. It's like it's dominating you. Life is still flowing. Life is still flowing.
Are you getting the point? You've tried to win the lost, but you are struggling. Don't write yourself off. Life is still flowing. You try to interpret tongues, it's not working. Life is still flowing. You try to cast out devils, it's not working. Life is still flowing. So you look at that tree and say, this is a useless branch. Once you don't cut it off, give it some time. Ayaya, give it some time. Once there is still a supply. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Life is still flowing. Life is still flowing. My life is still getting better. I'm still getting better. I will get it right. I might have missed it before, but I will get it right. Don't count me out because of my mistakes. I'm still abiding in the vine. And if I abide in him, I will bear fruit. Lift your voice. Say that concern yourself into. Just pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost. Whatever struggles you've had in your journey, whatever struggles you've had in your journey, there is still a supply. We are not writing you off. Don't let the devil write you off. And don't write yourself off. Because life is still flowing. Jesus is still supplying. There is still a supply of the Spirit of Jesus. You have 5 minutes. Take it well and pray. Pray. Pray out your heart. Present that struggle to the Lord. Say, Lord, you will help me with this. I know you will help me. I know you will help me. Because your life is still flowing through me. Acknowledge that his life is still flowing. I know you will help me get this one right. Because your life is still flowing through me. If you have not written me off, I'm not writing myself off. If you've not cut me off from the vine, I'm not writing myself off. Because I know that once I'm still connected to the vine as the branch, it's a matter of time. There shall be fruits. Come on. Shabara de la Kaya. Rebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebeb Shikadia. You are jumping over that struggle. You are winning that addiction. Because the life of God is supplying. There is still a supply of the Spirit of Jesus. You are jumping over that struggle. Because God is helping you. By his life flowing through you. There are people I see in this place breaking free from addiction. There is just a light that shines in your heart right now. Ah, God is helping you by that life inside of you. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. You are still connected to the divine. Anger cannot take over you. There is still a connection. Once life is still flowing, even though there might be a dry season, because I'm still connected to the roots, I'm going to get out of this mess. Some of you, even if you are sick in this place and you've tried to get healed and the healing did not come, listen to me. Don't write yourself off, because you are still connected to the vine. And when you abide in him, there will be a supply of Zoe. Zoe is still flowing. It's still flowing from him to you. Yeah, 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 yeah. Rebbe Shude la Kabayash. Receive help where you need help. Receive help where you need help. Receive help where you need help. Don't write yourself up. There is a supply of the Spirit of Jesus. It's a constant supply. Addictions are breaking off. Struggles are dying off. Some of you are seeing possibilities. I see prison doors open and people are escaping. It's in their mind. It's in their mind. There's still a connection. It's in their minds. God is setting you free. Take one more minute. God is setting you free from every struggle, and it's by revelation. By now you know that even the season may come that may look like dryness or barrenness, but there is no problem. Once you are still connected to the vine, there is still a supply. In Jesus' name we pray. We're going to take these things together on top of our voice as we affirm these realities. Say, the life of God is working in me. The life of God is flowing through me. The life of God is working in me. It is flowing through me. It is bearing fruit in me. Say, there is still a supply. There is still a supply. I may not be bearing fruit now, but because I'm abiding in the vine, it's a matter of time. I will bear fruit. Fruits of righteousness. Fruits of holiness. Fruits of holiness. Fruits that bring results. My life is counting. My life is producing results. For the life of God is working in me. There's no debt in me. There's no debt in me. There's no debt in me. There's no leftover of spiritual debt in me. There is no leftover of spiritual debt in me. Therefore, addictions are falling off now. Struggles are falling off now by the life of God that is working on my inside. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory. Lift your hands and give Him praise all over this place. Give Him praise. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give Him praise in this place.
Oh, yes. I'm not the one living. Jesus lives. You know the song? Come on.
I am justified.
Come on, come on, sing.
I'm living forever.
Yes.
Everything you are, I am.
Say, I'm not the one living.
I'm not the one living.
Jesus lives in me.
Jesus lives in me. I am justified.
Yes.
I'm living forever.
Come on, come on, come on. Do it one more time. Say, I'm not the one living. I'm
not the one living.
Let me hear you sing it. Come on. Jesus lives in me. Come on.
I am justified.
Yes.
I'm living forever.
Oh, yes.
Everything you are, I am.
Say, I sing glory. Of you believe those words. Christ is living in you now. His nature is working in you. His life is working in you. Tomorrow we'll continue by 5 p.m.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.